Hello, and welcome to the Mail Report on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Chris Marshall of the Click It Comics Library.
In this episode, we'll be discussing the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month. The numbers we're going to be talking about in this episode are the top 100 trades as sold through Diamond to comic book retailers for October 2008. With me, as always, for these episodes is Chris Marshall of the Collected Comics Library. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, John. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. And, man, these numbers, kind of interesting this time around. There was something Bob and I had noticed over on the comic side for the breakdown of the top 300 that I'm noticing something kind of similar on the breakdown of the top 100 trades when you look at it by the publishers. Over on the comic side, obviously Marvel and DC, they take the top two slots. I mean, that's a given, you know? What was interesting is on the comic side, you had IDW and Dynamite taking slots 3 and 4 of the breakdown as ordered by the total units per publisher, and they came before Image and Dark Horse. Now, Bob's comment on that, which was interesting, was that it kind of, you know, throws into question the value of that placement at the front of previews. Now, if we look over here on the trade side, the publisher with the largest share of the top 100 sales, DC Comics, they came in with 43.82% of the total units sold for the top 100, followed by Marvel with 28.29%. Okay. Now, the other premier publisher is one of the other two is, of course, Dark Horse. That came in with 13.49% of the total units sold for those top 100. So far, things are looking pretty normal. But then there's that fourth premier publisher of Image. It's way down in essentially 12th place because it only had one trade come out, and it was a reorder to boot. And it had 0.64% of the total sales of the top 100 trades. So this doesn't really, you know, throw into question of, gee, do you need to be in the front of previews or not? This, to me, really shows it helps to release items to be there, but it was, I thought, very surprising that Image came behind so many other publishers, including Archie. I mean, Archie had one item on the top trade list, and it had a higher percentage of the sales for the top 100 than Image. I wonder what the hell that item was, actually.
For Image?
No, for Archie. Because
for Archie.
For Image, it was Walking Dead.
Archie, it was Sonic the Hedgehog Archives Volume 9.
Yep, there it is. Yeah. Yep. That's, I find that kind of funny. You know what I mean? Now, it's also interesting that 100% of the sales for Image on the top 100 is Kirkman. This is the highest percentage he's accounted for them. Now, obviously, we only have visibility into the top 100 items for the trades. It'd be nice to have more. This is only through comic book stores and only through those getting it through Diamond. This is not to say that all of the trade sales for October for Image were Kirkman or Walking Dead. That would be completely absurd, but there are some people whose mind seems to work on that sort of absolute insanity track. All we're saying here is, for what we have visibility into, nothing but Kirkman for Image this month. And that means any other trade they did through Diamond had to sell below 1,445 units, which, of course, quite a few things could have done. Other volumes of Walking Dead, some stuff for Spawn. I'm trying to think what other trades Image has that tend to do fairly well for them. But this is one of those things where in a couple of months, right after they release the December data, they're going to release the year-end data. And that's where we get to see things that have been flying under the radar all year and get a sense for how they've been doing. Because
books did Image bring out on the monthly side that 19, is that a low for new items for Image for the month, or is that about par for the course, you think?
I would have to go pull up some of the previous data. That seems about average.
That's about average, okay.
I mean, they're coming out with more items than that on the comic side. However, the number that make the top 300, that seems about average. And again, going off the top of my head. Because depending where the top 300 cuts off, and in this case, it cut off at 4,230 units, a lot of things over at Image that are reasonably consistent and reliable sellers are going to fall beneath that mark.
That seems like a high cutoff mark this month.
It was. It's one of the higher ones we've had. And below that, you're going to see things like PS238, PvP, potentially other titles like Proof. I'm trying to think some of the other ones that tend to fall below that radar. Image is one of the companies that when the cutoff point on the comic side is around that again, 4,230 point, a lot of their stuff's going to fall below. Boom is another one like this. Obviously, some of the smaller publishers. But out of the premier, Image is the one that seems to get hurt the most by that. Now, what's interesting is only 17 of the trades would have gotten onto that list of the top 300 with that cutoff point. You know, most of these trades are selling below the value of even the lowest of the comics on the top 300 list. So just for a sense of scale there. You know, when people say that, you know, trades are the future, and I personally certainly think that they are, you've got to understand that future is going to operate under radically different business principles and sales trends than the one we're currently at, which is surviving off the sales of the top comics. And really, I think the best example of that is the item at the number one slot on the top trades list, and that's that new Joker hardcover, which sold 17,294 units. Now, what's interesting about this is, first off, 17,000 plus units, damn good sales for the trade list, okay? Typically, the item that came right below it with Marvel Zombies, the first trade paperback at that 8,730 units, that's viable number one sales for the trade list. The thing with the Joker, though, is it's an original content hardcover. Now, there are couple other original content items we have on the list this month, and if the business, the comic industry, were to shift predominantly to a trade-based model as the primary format, we would be seeing more original content trades and hardcovers. The question is 17,000-18,000 units enough? And we've seen a few cases where it would go to 35,000 or 40,000, maybe a little more on like some of the oversized Alex Ross tabloid size things from years back. But typically, it doesn't have the sales figures that even some of the lower-selling DC and Marvel titles do.
Well, there is quite a gap between the Joker and the Marvel Zombies coming in. I mean, that's almost 9,000 units.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge.
Well, I mean, it works out really funny. If you look at that number two slot of Marvel Zombies, and that's the first Marvel Zombies one, I believe, and you look at rank number three of The Boys Volume 3 trade paperback. You take the sales of those two. Marvel Zombies, again, did 8,730 units. The Boys Volume 3 did 8,564 units. Add those together, you get 17,294 units, which coincidentally, and just by random chance, happens to be how much that Joker hardcover sold in first place. You know, if it takes the next two items to equate to the top-selling item, that shows a certain kind of off-kilterness to the way the sales are breaking down here. Now, the other thing that's very interesting in terms of those breaks is if you look at rank 6, we got some more reorder activity for Watchmen, this time 6,121 units. But this is nearly 2,000 units below rank number 5, which was up at a little over 8,000 with 8,018 units for the Dark Tower Long Road Home hardcover. So there's another kind of clear delineation point between that above 8,000 and that around 6,000. And we seem to see these kinds of arbitrary cutoff points near the upper ends, really, of both the comics and the trades lists. You'll wind up with some odd stair-stepping at times. And at the moment, I'm undecided on what I think is kind of the key factors leading to that. Now, again, Watchmen is currently on a consignment basis to the retailers. They're able to get it for free and able to return them, you know, in the month of December for whatever they can't sell. So, bit of a special case going on here. Keep in mind, though, there are some retailers that, despite that consignment program, or for whatever reason, are thinking it's just easier for them business-wise, bookkeeping-wise, whatever, to just get the copies through the normal methodology. It's going to be very interesting to watch how this title does over the next couple of months, particularly in December and when the movie comes out.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. I mean, it's still going to sell very well, even after the movie comes out. I mean, you know, everybody's going to go see the movie, and then there's going to be this big push to go get the book, I think.
I think we're going to see that, and I also think we're going to see it pop back up on the list around the time the DVD comes out.
Yeah, and then any time after that, you know, maybe that's when it starts to go downhill.
Well, I mean, let's face it. It's not one that's going to go downhill so much as it's going to go revert to its prior, you know, trend,
yeah,
where it just bounces up on the list every once in a while.
Right.
You know, this is one that... I'm willing to bet if I were to look at previous years, Watchmen did better on the year-end list than the sum of the monthly lists, it would indicate. Meaning it wasn't on it every month and it fell just below on those other months. Not going to be the case for 2008, of course, because it's been on the list every month. Matter of fact, I think it's been on the list every month for the last 15 or 16 months. You know, even if there's a burnout stage or something of the sort, which I kind of doubt with Watchmen, because, I mean, it's stood the test of time pretty damn well, it's one that is always going to be on retailer shelves. That's never going to change.
Right, right. I agree with that, yeah.
What else do we have on here that looks interesting?
Well, the Black Dossier is out in paperback.
Yeah.
We got three versions of this book in one calendar year.
One calendar year? Hell, it seemed like two or three months. I mean, geez.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That was just fast. And the fact that this did 4,812 units, I find kind of surprising given those other volumes are out there. Now, granted, $20 price point helped. But yeah, that's just puzzling.
I think DC is just done with Alan Moore, and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah, gonna be interesting. Now, right above that, though, in rank 11 is the second volume of the Justice trade paperbacks. That's the Alex Ross Justice League series. It did 4,989 units. That's down about 103 for the total loan sales of the first volume. I really think that the sales on both of these two volumes and the third volume when it comes out are kind of being held back by the specter of... They're going to do an absolute of this. I mean, how can they not?
Oh, I think next Christmas we'll see it. 2009, we'll see one.
Yeah, and I've got to wonder if the potential for that absolute is, of course, cutting into these sales, and if these sales are then going to cut into the absolute sales. So it's one of those, there is no easy answers to what version to come out with first. I mean, I totally concede that, but this is one that'll be fun to see how it plays out in the big picture.
I'm waiting for the absolute version. I mean, I picked up the very first issue of Justice, and I liked it, but I'm like, you know, everything Alex Ross touches gets an absolute. Everything.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be, or you know, or some kind of oversized hardcover or something, you know, no matter what company he is with at the time or freelancing with. So, yeah, I decided I'm just going to wait and wait for the big one. Save my money.
That's what Bob did. Mm-hmm. I can't fault you for that at all. Now, at rank 15, we've got X-Men Messiah Complex. This did 4,355 units, which I see as fairly strong and robust sales. This is a $30, $29.99 trade paperback. And what's interesting about this is it's collecting the backup features that ran for a month or two or three or whatever in the X-Men titles for the whole Messiah Complex storyline. No, I'm wrong. This is the one that had 13 chapters and ran through all of the main storylines. It was Endangered Species that was the backup feature. That's
okay.
That's what it was. So
you're better off getting both those books together? Do they run hand in hand kind of thing?
I would say you're better off getting this book than the Endangered Species one. The Endangered Species was good, but it was basically a storyline following the Beast in, you know, 8-page chunks as he tried to, you know, unravel a mystery or what have you.
Okay.
Whereas the Messiah Complex storyline here really kind of set the stage for the current status quo for the X-Men. You know, it's what launched the Cable series, the Young X-Men series, some of that stuff.
As someone who has not read X-Men in years, is this a good starting point?
I think so.
Yeah.
Bob and I, actually, we talked about this twice on the Weekly Comic Spotlight. Once we reviewed the X-Factor storyline for one of the component issues. I'd been reading the whole crossover, Bob had not. I liked the comic, Bob did not. We then, when the whole thing wrapped up, reviewed the entire kind of Messiah Complex in general, at which point Bob had read everything, and his comment is it was like reading a completely different comic when he reread that issue of X-Factor.
Huh.
This got Bob back onto a couple of the X-Men titles, which he's, of course, since dropped, because he's not a big X-Men fan to begin with, I think. Mm-hmm. And certainly not an X-Men in space, as some of the stuff is going on, although not as much. And frankly, you know, X-Men Legacy, kind of a weak book. So if you're not into X-Men, this is probably one of the better trades to pick up. It's one of the more pivotal ones.
Okay.
Now, in rank 16, this is another one of the original content trades. It's Empowered Volume 4 from Dark Horse at $14.95. It did 4,313 units. That's down a whopping 25 copies from the total loan sales of the third volume. This one, let me pull up sales for the other two real quick. The first volume did around 3,187 units, and really volumes 2, 3, and 4 have all been hovering right at this 4,313 to 43 units area. So I'm willing to bet there was some reorder activity for that first trade that was low enough it's just never hit the list, but it would not surprise me if we kind of see that first volume pop up either on the year end for this year or maybe it did last year. This is one that's selling very stably and is coming out about every 6 months or so. Seems to get released in March and October. This to me is one that I like to follow the sales on because it seems to be one of the better test cases for original content trades. It's original to trade. It's coming out on a routine basis, consistent quality, and nice focused set of characters, so it's not, you know, like your attention's going to say, oh, well, I'm not seeing this one I really want to, kind of a thing. Adam Warren's doing some great stuff here, and it seems to be paying off. You know, again, rank 16 against some pretty tough competition this month, I think is doing pretty well. We also then have the third volume of Countdown to Final Crisis, and it did 4,230 units, meaning it just barely might have made the top comics list this month, and that's down about 285 units from the total known sales of the previous volume, which in this case was, yeah, actually volume 2, because they're numbering the volumes counting up, even though the issues counted down. It's all very confusing. This is one where it's clear that the event mindset and business model is just not working as well for DC as it is for Marvel. This is something that, you know, when you look at how World War Hulk, Civil War, you know, those kinds of events have been going on for Marvel and how they just hit huge on the trade side, and we're going to see that with Secret Invasion. The latest solicitation for Marvel had the spines for all of the trades that are coming out, and there's like 24.
Yeah.
Countdown didn't have those crossovers to that extent. The spinoff miniseries pretty much didn't do too hot on the monthly side, much less the trade. And here's the core trade for the weekly series, doing a little over maybe a copy and a half, two copies per store on average. Obviously, some stores are going to have more than that. Some aren't going to have gotten any, whatever. But this, to me, is one of the kind of worrisome some aspects about how DC's doing these days. Now, DC is usually doing very well on the trade list. Aside from when Marvel has these big waves of event stuff, DC often, you know, is the largest piece of the pie for the top 100 trades. But if they could then add to that a big wave of success when they have some of these big storylines, they could just be making a lot more money on the side of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
In rank 20, we've got the first deluxe hardcover for Why the Last Man. It did 3,804 units, and that's, I think, pretty good, given the trades have been out for a while, and given that the first trade is down at rank 97 with another 1,455 units. And that first trade for Why the Last Man, which is really only half of this hardcover, has been on the list like over 24 times. Now, I've picked up this hardcover, have not had time to read it yet, but definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I saw it in the comic book store. I haven't picked it up yet, but I think I will.
This is one that I just had sat out the monthly series.
Yeah, I sat out too. Yeah, I would like to read it, though.
Yeah, well, and again, that's why I got the hardcover and stuff. I tend not to get all that much from Vertigo. It's good stuff.
Do you remember if there's any extras in the hardcover?
I don't recall there being. Let me pull up the solicitation real quick. First 10 issues, collected in oversized hardcover, new cover. It's got a new cover.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, I don't see as an added extra, but, you know.
No, I just wonder if there's, like, any sketch pages or... I'm sure it's got the covers, the original covers inside somehow. They usually do those.
Yeah. It's 256 pages, so I wouldn't expect tons of extra material. I don't recall them soliciting it with anything other than, hey, it's Why the Last Man in hardcover.
Right.
And that being enough of a draw for most people. What else do we have? Those were really a lot of the ones that just kind of, you know, stuck out at me as being interesting. Now, down at rank 93, we've got some reorder activity for Star Wars Force Unleashed, another 1,517 units, bringing the total known sales of that to 13,601, which is not bad at all.
No, that's very good, yeah. And I keep telling people that's a very good Star Wars story.
I read it. I liked it, but I thought it was a bit too flashbacky. Too much of the story happened in the past tense. If you want some of the key moments of the founding of the rebellion and stuff, by all means, go pick this up. I thought it was good and kind of better than most things that are kind of bridges to a video game.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but that was definitely the point of it.
Oh, yeah, certainly, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, you can be very successful that way. Witness the Gears of War number one comic that, through the direct market, sold decently under 20,000 units, yet reportedly has sold, you know, 450,000 units in total. Granted, it was given away as a bonus extra if you pre-ordered the game at certain retailers. So, you know, if you can really count those as true sales of the comic or not is highly debatable. But it's at least getting the stuff out there, putting comics in front of. In this case, the content was tailor-made to that audience it was essentially given to. So definitely there's a lot to be said for that. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of getting the right material in front of the right people and trying to convert them into comic book readers. Now, we've got one star item on the list. A star item is basically the perpetual reorder stuff over at Diamond, and that's at rank 95, and that's Joss Whedon's Frey, the Future Slayer trade paperback, with 1,486 units. It's been on the list twice before, so its total known sales are just below 8,000. And, of course, this is tying into the current storyline going on in the new Buffy Season 8 series, where Frey shows up again. And I, of course, you know, being an easy mark, bought the Frey trade paperback on those grounds myself.
You're a big Buffy fan, aren't you?
Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Yeah.
You know, certainly it's, I'm liking it a lot better than the Angel title.
Are you?
The Angel title, fortunately, is ending, and that's the only reason I'm still getting it, just to finish out the run. I don't think it's been anywhere near as accessible or really as entertaining as the Buffy stuff has been.
Now, this may be a silly question, but I guess when does Season 8 end, and is there going to be a Season 9?
That's actually a great question. I don't know. Obviously, I think sales are going to factor into that. I mean, there's no question about that. If it starts tanking, they'll stop doing it. If it stays up where it is, because it's typically up in the 80,000-90,000 range, hovering just out of the top 10 on the monthly comics side.
Yeah.
Now, it did not do that this month because an issue did not ship during October. But with those kind of sales, man, I'd keep going. I'd do a Season 18 if I could.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, if they can keep the quality up, keep the sales up, I think this will keep going for a while. I suspect that Joss Whedon is essentially treating each story arc as an episode. So every three or four issues kind of counts as one of those. And he's going to go for, I don't know, I could easily see 15 to 20 of those, you know, with maybe a couple of one-shot stories tossed in the mix.
Yeah.
So conceivably, around issue 50 or 60, they could flip it over to a Season 9 if they wanted to. It will be interesting to see if it's still going strong at that point, and if they kind of flip the season number. If they do, I would love to see them package this as a series of digests, and specifically DVD-sized digests, and package it up as if it's a, you know, Season 8 on TV, make it look like the DVD packaging and stuff. I think that would be an entertaining marketing move, and I'd be very curious to see how well that would pan out for them.
All right, I've got a question for you. The very last item, Incredible Hercules Secret Invasion. It's a premier hardcover. It is awfully low to be having such a high, you know, a Secret Invasion tie-in book. Is this a sign of things to come?
I don't think so.
No?
I think part of it here is this thing shipped on the 29th.
Okay.
So it was the last week of the month. That certainly didn't help it.
Right.
You look at the Spider-Man with Great Power premiere hardcover that also shipped, I believe, on the 29th, last week of the month. So I think there's some of that. It's conceivable we'll see reorder activity this month to bump it up a little higher. It's also not like a lot of people felt the Hercules stuff was pivotal to Secret Invasion. They gave a couple of reveals on who loves issue is, but I see it as a combination of a couple of factors. One, when it shipped in the month. If this had shipped at the beginning of the month, it would have had a couple of weeks of potential in-month reorders that would have appeared here as if it had been initial sales. Okay, so that's one of the things that kind of skews the stuff a little. The other thing is, again, how pivotal it seemed to the core storyline itself. And also, I mean, there's a lot of trades coming out these days.
Yeah.
You know, there were 26 trades from Marvel, and I believe this is one of the first Secret Invasion ones to be coming out. Let me double check that real quick. Scanning through the list on the Marvel stuff. Yeah, that's the first Secret Invasion. Plus, it's a hardcover versus a trade. And they're just now really kind of kicking in the solicitations for all the other trades and stuff. So this, I think, hit a little early, and with Secret Invasion kind of still going on, I don't know that a lot of people were really expecting these trades to start coming out yet.
Mm.
Or it could just have totally tanked because it is a sign of things to come. But given how Secret Invasion's selling, I mean, it's top of the charts over on the comic side by a wide margin. It's usually been 40,000 units above Final Crisis and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So there's no real reason to think that Secret Invasion is tanking by any stretch of the imagination. Flip side, if we look over on how Hercules is doing on the monthly side, let me pull that up real quick. It is down at about rank 60 at 42,871 units, which is off by really about 9.5% or so from the previous issue. I'm thinking this was the first one after the Secret Invasion crossover, but I could be wrong on that. I would assume it is, since we've already got the trade coming out for it. So, you know, if it did in the 51,000, 52,000, 53,000 mark, a little over for one of them for the Secret Invasion storyline, I would expect the trade to do better than 1,445. Again, hardcover versus trade. But even at $19.99, that's not that harsh of a price. I expect for this and Spider-Man Great Power and one or two other things, we may see some reorder activity next month to kind of boost them up a little. We may not, but we might.
One thing I always kind of look at before we record, most of the time anyway, is to look over at the monthly side and to see what is misplaced and should be a trade. And this month, there's really no question about it. At $7.99, the presidential material flipbook that featured both Obama and McCain, I think that should have been a trade paperback. You know, or on the collected edition side of things, not the monthly side of things. What's your take on that?
I can see both sides of that because, I mean, it really comes down to how do you define a trade paperback?
Yeah.
And there are a couple of things I've seen on both sides. When we talked about the Disney stuff a month or two back, that's another one where the dividing lines are very blurred. Now, certainly at that price point, you know, $7.99, that's within trade aspect. But flip side, it's at the upper end of what can legitimately be considered a comic book. Now, this thing, as I recall, was 60...
Two separate books.
Well, it was two separate books, but each book was a standard 32-page comic, making this flip book about a 64-page thing, which in my mind puts it more on the comic side than the trade side.
Okay.
For me, I would say, and this is just my own personal views, by no means any kind of industry definition or anything, 100 pages or more to be a trade, probably 128 or more to really qualify as a trade. You know, when I see something that's 96 pages or something and it's over there, it's like, that's kind of thin. You know, again, original graphic novels, where should they fit? You know, you go up to near the top of the list on the trade side, and we have Warren Ellis's Etheric Mechanics graphic novel. Certainly, it's a graphic novel. I'm assuming it's 96 pages or more. But at $6.99, one could argue maybe that should have been on the comic side. You know, it's a very blurry line. Personally, I think putting the flipbook for the presidential stuff on the comic side was the correct decision.
Okay.
I believe it was saddle-stitched, it had no spine, it didn't have quite the page count, I think, to put it over there. Flip side, by that same criteria, that Uncle Scrooge at the bottom of the list, maybe it should have been over on the trade side. It's a collection of multiple stories that had been printed elsewhere before. I'm trying to remember if these things have a spine or saddle-stitched. You know, it's something that I don't see great consensus on in terms of which is which.
Well, and the Jimmy Olsen special that came out as well from DC.
The one that was part of the new Krypton?
The special, yeah, the Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen.
That, to me, totally a comic book.
That's 48 pages, yeah. Okay.
No question whatsoever on that one. Now, when they were doing the Countdown specials and they would reprint like some of the OMAC or the Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. That wasn't this book.
That was not this book.
This is an original. Okay.
This was an original thing by, I think, James Robinson kicking off the new Krypton stuff.
Okay, I'm thinking of the Countdown stuff then.
This was excellent. The Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen special, excellent stuff. Highly recommended. Bob and I talked about that on the Weekly Spotlight. But yeah, the reprint stuff, that I think, because it was 80 pages, had a spine of sorts, I could have seen that on the trade side.
Yeah.
To me, it's a little bit of an arbitrary distinction, and I kind of group things in three categories, although really we only have two of them represented here. We've got the monthly or periodical, you know, installment story-based stuff on the top comic side. We've got the collected stuff over on the top trades. To me, there's kind of a middle ground of the manga, and that's something that is kind of ongoing periodical, although longer duration between installments, and is neither fish nor fowl. It's neither a comic nor really a standard collected edition. And what's interesting is, I believe, on the top manga list, let me go pull that up real quick to make sure I get this right, that the Empowered Volume 4 we were talking about earlier, I believe they put that as the top-selling manga item. Mm. So let me pull up the actual core data I get from Diamond. And of course, there's stuff there that I don't put into the numbers we look at, and vice versa. There's numbers I have that I'm not getting from Diamond. And let me scroll down to, all right, that's graphic novels. I don't want that. I want the manga. Yeah, top 50 manga. They have Empowered Volume 4 as the top-selling item.
Hmm.
Now, what's interesting on the top manga, and the reason I don't treat this as a separate entity, because, it doesn't have the index value. Without the index value, there's no way of knowing how much that top-selling one sold versus that second top-selling one, which in this case was Hellsing Volume 9, which if we look on our top trades list, where do we see Hellsing Volume 9? We see that at rank 22. Now, the last thing we see on the top trades list that would qualify as manga is probably that Full Metal Alchemist number 17 at rank 87, and that shows up on, where does that show up on this? Yeah, that shows up in rank 7 on the top 50 manga. So I could tell you the ordering of stuff that fell below the top 100 trades, but I can't do any kind of relative comparison to know how well, say, the Death Note Volume 2, which is presumably reorder activity, did down at rank 48 on the top 50 manga compared to, you know, any of the other items on the list.
Okay.
So between that and a fairly complete lack of knowledge on manga myself, but that's one of the many pieces of data that I have that I factor in where I can, that a lot of people don't realize exactly what's in the data that Diamond releases. Let's see. Anything else that looks interesting and exciting to you?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
It's going to be fun and hopefully uplifting to see how these things do over the next couple of months as we enter kind of the holiday buying season.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, are going to discount a lot of what we're saying on these things as, well, it's just the direct market. There's the mass market out there. Well, keep in mind that a lot of these mass market bookstores, such as, I believe, either Borders or Barnes & Noble, I forget which, have already gone on record saying they're going to be cutting back on graphic novel purchases and things of that nature because they're expecting a fairly tight holiday buying season.
Mm-hmm.
So the days of those mass market outlets being kind of the holy grail, or, you know, the saving grace of the industry or whatever, you know, if they were ever that, they may not continue to be that, at least for the short term.
Right, right.
You know, it'll be interesting to, again, see how the sales do, you know, when we get the year-end book scan data that Brian Hibbs tends to leak out, and, you know, when we get the year-end data from Diamond, what fell below the radar, all that kind of stuff. And, again, over the next 2 months with the November and December data, you know, are we seeing strong sales, or are we seeing the sales we've got now? Because right now, the average item on this top 100 list did only about 3,037 units, and that's, again, taking all 100, dividing by 100. The median, which is kind of the midpoint on that list, which is really the average of items 1551, was only 2,322 units. So most of these items, maybe a copy or two, made it to the average comic store. We're not seeing the strength of sales on this side that would be nice. Flip side, those that have previous volumes are not quite at a wash between those that are going up, those that are going down. 11 sold less than the previous volume, 10 sold more. Total losses were only 4,387, total gains 3,339, for a net loss of only about 1,048 units. Again, comparing volume to volume for things that have previous volumes that hit the list. Now again, when you've got some of these titles switching names of volumes from story arc to story arc, it's really damn near impossible for my system to correctly identify, like, how that Incredible Hercules Secret Invasion hardcover did compared to the last hardcover they did for Hercules. Because I'm going based on a whole volume number thing, which they're not using. Drives me nuts. It was bad enough that they, my last DCBS shipment, had put in a like a little catalog for the Marvel trades. And they actually had a reading order for Iron Man, X-Men, Hulk, Captain America, Daredevil, to make sense of all these name changes they've had for all the different trades.
Yeah, I got that one too. I thought that was pretty interesting.
I got to figure out a way to integrate that into the number crunching system I've got to take advantage of that information. So I think that pretty much does it for this. What's coming up on your show?
I think this week I'll be doing a holiday gift guide. And then after that, we're going to be talking about the Marvel Masterworks X-Men Volume 7, the X-Men solo stories and the Beast solo stories. And what could be possibly in a Volume 8 or even a Volume 9, because there's that gap between the regular X-Men run from the 1960s and when it was restarted in 1975 with Giant Size X-Men number 1. There was a time in between. There's no series, but yet the X-Men showed up in a bunch of different various places, whether it be Marvel Premiere or guest starring in a couple of Avengers books or Spider-Man. They kind of popped up now and then. So,
right, right.
And of course, the first appearance of Wolverine and the Hulk, 181, 180, 181, 182. So we're talking about those.
Cool. Sounds good.
What about you, John?
We've got the weekly comic spotlight every week. We've got the previews spotlight coming up. We're doing a couple of interviews for that. Solicitations are out, so if people have stuff they think other people ought to be buying, they should be sending in clips. There's instructions on how to do that on our forums at forum.comicbookpage.com. We've got a back issue spotlight we're going to be recording soon on future comics, which I know seems kind of oxymoronic, back issue future. But this is the publisher that lasted for a little bit with Bob Layton and some of those guys. Had some really cool stuff. So we're going to talk about all those. And beyond that, I mean, with the holiday season, we're cutting back just a little bit. We're not going to be doing, you know, 3 episodes a week every week. We're taking a little time off for the holidays and some stuff like that. But we will do the weekly spotlight every week. And then as we have these other things, you know, we'll continue to be putting stuff out. So we're not going anywhere. We're just, you know, and me in particular, just a little bit tired. So that's that.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themailreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening. The views expressed by Don Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If they differ from your reality, please verify you are in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the month in question. The Diamond Order Index only goes 2 decimal places, and therefore there is a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used as the key title. Some numbers are rounded to the nearest 100 for convenience. This may introduce a further level of inaccuracy.
No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activity should be seen only as indications there's at least one retailer that may have an excessive amount of empty shelf space with dust it needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 different comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of top 300 comic books for the month. The list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 100 different graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of top 100 graphic novels and collected editions for the month. In the past, list of top graphic novels and collected editions contained only 50, 25, or excuse, and items. This means that historical data about graphic novels and collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time that you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which, as far as I know now, has not been successfully invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comic books, graphic novels, and or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 100 graphic novels and collected editions lists is included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. No information about sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside the Diamond Comics distribution channel is included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for, and no amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer is here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is void in the ultimate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Math, logic, and the English language itself seem to work very differently there.